Isaiah 66. I'm told to go to Isaiah 66. So we're just going to go there for a momento. Glory to God. Praise God. Isaiah 66. Is everybody there? I don't know whether you're shaking because it's cool or you're praying in the Spirit. So, is it cold in here? Well, listen, lift your hands. And whatever it is you need, ask. You need to eat, get it. You need a breeze, ask him. Praise God. Isaiah 66, in verse 1 and 2, would you please read that with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I look, on him who is pure and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Wow. So in other words, he's saying, listen, I'm looking for those who are willing to build. Build. And one of the things he's saying, building my house. I'm looking for those who are willing. And to be a builder of my house, you must be humble, contrite, submissive, and obedient. If you want to be a builder of my house. See, God didn't rescue me and you just to go to work, build a family, and store up treasures. He didn't rescue me and you just to look for retirement and what we can pass down. He rescued me and you to build his house. That's why we were rescued. To build his house and to be brought into an intimate relationship with a father with a desire to build, not because it's required to build. A desire to build. You know, people go out and buy pets. And they love the pet. They like this pet. So what they do, they go out and make sure they have a food and a bowl. And some go out and build a house for the pet. Well, if people are willing to build dog houses, cat houses, and any other kind of animal house, even my bird has a hotel. Why would we not want to build the house of God? But it's going to take tools. It's going to take foundation. And it's going to take weapons because there will always be resistance in building that house. Amen? So I want to start off with Philippians chapter 2. It's going to take consistency. It's going to take endurance. And it's going to take learning and suffering. Philippians chapter 2. There must be a willing heart. There must be a willing spirit. You must be willing to do whatever it takes. Now, you may start off in the area of, you know, I need to do it because it's good for me. I have to. But then there's a place where you get beyond that. You know, many people come into the discipleship house because they know they've been messed up. Many people come back to church and come back to God because they've been messed up. They know that their lives are not right before God. So they come back, and in this coming back, There must be a willingness then. In other words, we come back maybe at first because we know it's the best thing for us, but then there must be a willingness afterwards. Now, it's no longer that you have to do it. You want to do it. And because you want to do it, it means you've been changed inside. Because you want to do it. Not because you have to do it. God looks now, and his character is beginning to get formed in you. You know, the mind of Christ is not instantly formed in you. It's a process. It's being formed. God's character is being formed in us. And there are things that your cooperation with him is going to cause that transformation quicker or slower. You know, so many times people go back to the same old things, and what it does is the enemy deceives them to go back to the same things that cause them the delay of transformation. And when they go back to that area of deception, he begins to take some of that transformation away. And then it has to be rebuilt again. And there is a rebuilding process going through the body of Christ. There's a rebuilding process. And in this building process, we are going to need tools for victory. We're going to need tools to be victorious. Victory is associated with success. If you want to be successful, there are certain tools that we have to have. Again, in building, there must be a foundation, there must be tools, and there must be weapons. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. Having the what? Same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let me share something with you specifically. In ministry, as a child of God, who is learning how to be a servant of God and a disciple of God, there is ministry. The first part is the Spirit begins to minister to you to draw you so he can eventually minister through you. But there is the first intimacy, which is the first ministry, is to the Lord. Your first ministry is always to the Lord. Your second ministry is to his house. Is everybody with me? Your first ministry is to the Lord. Your second ministry is to his house. And God places us in fellowship, which is his house. Has everybody got it? First is to the Lord. Second is to his house. Now you may think, well, what about my family? Listen, if your ministry is to the Lord, your expression of him is already ministering to your family. Has everybody got it? Your first ministry is to the Lord. Your second ministry is to his house. I'm telling you, I was sitting with the Lord the other day, and one of the things he kept bringing to me, he said, people are so focused on other ministry that they lose the first ministry, and that's to the house I asked them to build. And that's the fellowship I put them in. They lose sight of that ministry. And they want to go out and serve and do all kinds of other things without being sent because they haven't fulfilled what I've asked them to do to build my house first. Let's go a little further. So when we gather together, what's happening right now is we're becoming like-minded. We're becoming like-minded with the house that God is building right here. There's other fellowships that are becoming like-minded with that house because each house of the Lord has got a specific function and a purpose. Is everybody with me? It's got a function and a purpose. It isn't in competition. One's not better than the other. Everyone has a function and a purpose. We are front runners. We are individuals that are on the front line. That's why God must train us up specifically, a certain way. And to maintain like-mindedness with the Spirit and with the house, you must sit under what the Word says because it's going to keep us like-minded. So we learn alike. We think alike. We speak alike. Now, there's a certain body, the body of Christ, there's a foundation where we all think alike, speak alike. But then there's a specific function and purpose where we have our differences. Is everybody okay? Because there are those who are in deliverance. There are those who are just seed planters. There are those who build churches. And there are those who go to the streets. There are evangelists and so forth. But each area has a specific function. And the only way to stay like-minded with that function and purpose is to sit under what the Spirit is saying so we are like-minded. And that's what the enemy likes to do. He causes compromise. He causes complacency. And in that area, he causes separation and division. He causes offense. Do you know that offense is a fruit of pride? It's a fruit of pride. You offended me. Why? Because you think you're better? That's called pride. Let's go a little further. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through what? Selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of him. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, which is demonic forces. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, do what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your... Look at, nobody can work out your salvation. Your cooperation is the work. Your cooperation with the Spirit is the work. Salvation is a gift, right? If somebody was to bless you with a car, who's going to upkeep it and maintain it? You. The gift of salvation must be up, maintained and upkept. It is a gift, but he said, work out your salvation. He tells us, here's two things that are going to help you. The fear of the Lord, which is reverence, honor, and respect, and trembling. In other words, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Work out your own salvation. Work. Everyone say work. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to what? Will and to do for his good pleasure. Then he says, of course, do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Let me share something which is vitally important. And that is maintaining unity. Unity is power. Amen. And it's the power to overcome. You must maintain unity with the Spirit. Amen? Unity of the Spirit. Again, there is ministry to the Lord for unity. And there is ministry to his house which brings unity. I'm going to say that again. There is ministry to the Lord which is unity. And then there's ministry to his house, which brings unity. It is to maintain unity, we must become like-minded with Christ and like-minded with his house. We must become like-minded with Christ and like-minded with his house, again, which is the place of fellowship. Is everybody okay? There are fresh strategies. And there are fresh strategies, tools, and weapons in production right now. There are fresh strategies, tools, and weapons in production that are about to be released. It will take like-mindedness to receive, interpret, and obey. It will take like-mindedness to receive, interpret, and obey what is about to be released. And the purpose of these is to obtain victory and success. So we must work it out. We must work. Roll up your sleeves, take the tools, and build. You know, yesterday we were, last night, a few of us were gathered together and we were praying. And while we were praying, I was hearing a thum, like a hammer hitting metal. And when I saw in the spirit, I saw, you know, did you ever see the old, I guess, blacksmiths, whatever? They were making swords. And so I saw this sword that was in the flames and the fire, and it was pulled out, and somebody was hitting it. Boom, boom, boom. And I saw this, and the Lord began to share with me that these are the fresh strategies, tools, and weapons that he is in production right now and getting ready to release to his body. I thought, wow, this is phenomenal. And we've got to be ready. So we must be like-minded. He was sharing how important it is to be like-minded so that we can receive it and interpret it. So that we can receive and interpret. Go to Matthew 16. 16 and 24. Actually, you know, I want to go a little bit back so we can get the full understanding of this. Let's start at verse 21. Is everybody there? 16:21. Let's speak it together. It says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine him rebuking God? Saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. In other words, Peter was going to defend God. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Hello. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but you are of the things of what? Men. So Satan was using Peter to try to get Jesus into the soulish arena and have him get focused somewhere else. But Jesus recognized, because he knew what he was supposed to do, because he had the strategies, the tools, and the weapons already. And he wasn't going to let anything interfere. Did he love Peter? Yes, he did. Even Peter denied him three times, didn't he? But when Jesus showed up and rose from the dead, he said, go get Peter. Because he forgave him. Because Peter wept bitterly in the area of how hurt he was and how he knew how he hurt Jesus. And Jesus said, go get him, because he forgave him. Can Satan do that to anyone else? Amen. Every one of us can submit to that same voice at any time. In verse 24, Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. So in this, we see that denying self, which means take off the old, picking up the cross means put on the new, and follow, of course, means to believe and follow and obey, is the foundational process of victory. It is a foundational process of victory. In other words, it's foundational. This is standard. It's for everything. No matter what you do, you got to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. You got to take off the old, put on the new, and follow. Take off the old, put on. So whatever comes across your path, whatever decision, you must always remove you out of the way and put Christ there. Amen? Now, so that's foundational. So everybody got it? That's foundational. Go to Matthew 7 and verse 13. Enter by the what? Narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the what? Way that leads to destruction. So is it easier to go to destruction? Yes. And there are many who go in by it. Many. Because narrow is the what? The gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And the Bible says there are few. Because it's difficult. Remember, he said, work out your salvation. So we know that because working out, that means it's going to take our cooperation. We must work it. And it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be an easy flow thing all the time. There will be resistance because you are in a place that is ruled by Satan's kingdom, and he is going to resist you in anything that you want to do according to the will of God. Especially if your desire is to do his perfect will, you will have resistance all around you. All around you. It is a manner narrow and difficult. In other words, we must work it out. We must be disciplined. We must be consistent. And we must maintain the foundational process of denying ourselves, picking up the cross, and follow in every area. Has everybody got it? In other words, your agenda is not priority. Your feeling is not priority. Hello. In fact, some of our belief system is not priority. But the Lord told me, oh, really? You know, I love it. I don't love it, actually. It's disheartening when there's division, especially in a family, in a married couple, where one is saying one thing and the other is saying the other. It's difficult. Well, God told me this. Well, no, God told me this. Well, let me tell you, if God was speaking and told you both. Amen? God was speaking, he told you both. So this is where we've got to come in the area of constantly maintaining that foundational process of denying. Go to Luke 11. Now, of course, if one ain't listening, then you better pray for the other one to hear. But remember, God never interrupts himself. Luke 11, in verse 9. Would you read it with me, please? So I say to you what? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be what? Open. Okay. Now, this is really profound, because if you ask, that means you're going to receive, and what you receive you must put into practice. You're going to ask, you're going to receive, you put it into practice. You ask, you receive, you put it into practice. You're going to seek, and as you seek, you will find whatever it is he's going to show you. And then you will pursue. You will pursue. So I want to share this with you. You ask, you receive, you practice. You seek, you find, you pursue. Has everybody got it? You ask, you receive, you practice. You seek, you find, you pursue. You knock, it is open, you penetrate. Everybody got it? Okay. Why? Because these are tools of victory and success. Practice, pursue, and penetrate. Practice, pursue, and penetrate. Why? Because you've asked, you receive, you put it into practice. You seek, you find, and you pursue it. You knock, the doors open, and you get in there. You penetrate. There's too many dancing around the door. There's too many that ask and receive and don't put it to use. They don't practice it. Oh, thank you, Lord. And they put it on the shelf and it just collects dust. There's too many that have got to show them and they're still waiting. First John chapter 1. These are tools to victory and success, even in jobs, no matter what it is. You know, one of the things the Lord is establishing is marketplace ministries. It's no longer church with walls, it's church without walls. We gather here, we gather together to get filled with the Spirit, get fresh rhema from the Lord, to be strengthened, empowered, and then get out. Go cast out devils, raise the dead, lay hands on the sick. Go out and put it into practice. Go out and pursue and go out and penetrate. Amen? But your training is also in participation in building this house. That's a part of the training. He will not send you out until you've learned how to build here. If you can't fulfill building here, he ain't sending you. You'll send yourself. 1 John chapter 6. Is everybody okay? I mean, chapter 1, verse 6. So we want to put things into practice. What? Now, let me share with you this. Again, if we're not like-minded, how can we receive and interpret it? Then people will be receiving and interpreting multiple different things. And it brings confusion, doesn't it? Verse 6, let's read it. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice. What are you going to practice? What are you going to practice? The truth. 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 So we practice truth, not lies. We practice truth, not deception. We practice the truth, not what I feel. We practice the truth. Amen? Go to chapter 3. In verse 10. It says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice what? Righteousness. So we're going to practice the truth, which is what? Righteous. Not self-righteous. Righteousness. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Wow. So we are going to practice truth, and we are going to practice righteousness. Because that is an attribute of the presence and the character of Christ Jesus. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. Now, you got to look at something. If we are not maintaining and practicing these things, can God trust you? No. So what he's going to do, he's going to give you the minimum until you've earned his trust. He won't give you the abundance. He'll give you the minimum. Everybody got it? He'll give you just what you need to get by. But he will not give you the abundance. You'll have to go out there and get your own. So many people go out and try and get it themselves, and they spend more time on getting it themselves than God releasing it to them. In Romans chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 1. Romans 2, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. In other words, if you're judging someone else, you're accusing someone else, you're complaining about someone else, but you're doing the same thing, then you will be judged according to what you are judging. But we know that the judgment of God is according to what? Truth. So that means if we're practicing the truth and we're practicing righteousness, we are judging truth and righteousness, but we're first judging ourselves. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man or woman, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? God's judgment, it didn't say wrath, it said judgment. God's judgment will shake your world. It will shake your world. In fact, there is judgment right now in the house of God. Right now, the Lord is searching out whose hearts are pure and whose hearts are his. See, many go to the Lord and go, oh, Lord, give me. Thank you. You know, President Kennedy years ago said, it's not what your country can do for you, it's what you can do for your country. And it's not always what God can do for you at a certain time, but it's what you can allow him to do through you. That's why he says, deny yourself so he can move through you. You know, people get frustrated and tired, and the reason for why that is because now they're in their own strength. People grow weary because they're doing it in their own power. See, but when the Lord is doing it through you, there's always refreshing. You're like an ever-ready battery. And you're always recharging. Yeah. Yeah. You're always thirsty and hungry for more. You always want more of him. You want more revelation. You want to learn more. It's like, whoa, what else is there? And you realize how puny we are compared to how big he is. And we realize that our frailness is our own stumbling block sometimes. And this is where we must come to him and say, Lord, I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you. I'm nothing without you. Is everybody okay? Praise God. So, we're going to end this asking and seeking and knocking. We ask to receive and practice. We're going to practice the truth. We're going to practice righteousness. Why? Because in that you'll earn his trust and he'll release more. You know, even in the things of abilities, talents, the only way you perfect it is by practicing it. You can't be a tennis player unless you practice. You can't be a welder unless you weld. You must practice it. Everything has to do with practice. But it all must be done according to the rules. It's done, the rules are truth and righteousness. Justice and honor are all associated with it. So if you're at your job, when your boss is gone, you don't sit down, kick your feet up on a desk and wait for him to return. You've just lost the trust of God. And when somebody's not looking, you don't put something in your pocket thinking you deserve it. You don't live in a life of assumption. You live a life of submission. There's a difference. Your heart is set towards ministering to the Lord and building his house. And as you're doing that, he'll build your house. He'll establish it. And no matter what you're going through, you will have the faith and trust that he is faithful to complete what he started and that he truly is the one who brings life in abundantly. No matter what you're going through. Why? Because you're doing the two things he requires. Ministry to him and to his house. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Glory. Okay, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Hallelujah. And verse 13. Is everybody there? Psalm 34 and verse 13. Let's start at verse 11. Let's speak it together. Come, you children, and what? Listen to me, and I will what? Teach you the fear of the Lord. Oh, what's the fear of the Lord? Reverence, honor, and respect. Who is a man who desires life and loves many days? That he may what? See good. Keep your what? Tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Why? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Seek. Remember we talked about seek, find, and pursue. So we're to seek peace and we're to pursue his presence. We pursue his presence. We pursue his counsel. We pursue his direction. So everybody got it? His presence, counsel, and direction. I'm going to say it again. His presence, his counsel, and direction. Now remember, the enemy is always in the way. He will not allow you to seek without a battle. He will try to resist you in everything he can. And how does he resist you? In the mind, in the thoughts. If he can't do it there, he'll use ones close to you. He'll hit your finances. Whatever he can do to prevent you from moving off course of his perfect will, he will do it. Psalm 18. Verse 35. Ooh. Let's go to 31. Glory. Verse 31. Let's go. Are you ready? For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war and that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Now, does this take cooperation? Yeah. That means you must go back to the foundational process, huh? Deny yourself. Take off the old. Pick up the cross. Put on the new. Follow and obey. Verse 35. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have what? Oh, man, that's another thing you got to pursue. Your enemies. So you're not only going to pursue the presence, the counsel, and direction, but you're going to pursue your enemies. See, God exposes your enemies, and too many individuals ignore it. Your trials and tribulations and afflictions are to expose your enemy, not to run from them. I didn't say your physical enemy, I said your spiritual enemy. Verse 37, I have pursued my enemies and have what? Overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were what? Destroyed. That's why I believe in first strike. If you're not a first striker in the morning, you will be struck. So we're to pursue our enemies. We're to expose and get them out of the way. Hosea 6. If your enemy is fear, get it out of the way. If your enemy is lust, get it out of the way. If your enemy is alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, get it out of the way. If the enemy is you, get it out of the way. Hosea 6, verse 1. Let's speak it. Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning, and he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. That is the blessings. Again, it's important that we begin to establish these tools for victory and success. Victory and success in everything. You know, when the Lord reveals something to me, because I'm asking, Lord, I ask for witty inventions. Lord, show me. Show me what we can do to maintain unity. Show me what you want me to do to bring funds. You know, raising funds is fun. It should be fun. It should not be burdensome. We're to do all things in joy. If you're at work and it's burdensome, then you might consider whether you're in God's will or not. If it's burdensome. If it's taking you out of building your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with this house, you might consider whether that's of God or not. Amen? So in this, we see here that the latter rain and the former rain are the release of the strategies. They're the release of the tools. Amen? The release of the weapons. Everything refreshed in preparation for right now. You know, not every battle is the same, is it? They're similar. In fact, it could be the same lust at your battling, but it can come in a different form. It can be the same fear, but it can come in a different way. But if you're being led by the Spirit, you know all things, and He's telling you things to come. So that's why we must be prepared right now, like-minded, to receive and interpret what's about to be released, so that not only we have victory, but success. Amen? Pursue knowledge. Always turn to Him. Ask, seek, knock. 146, Psalm 146. Psalm 146. So we're to put things in practice, we're to pursue, and we're to penetrate. Amen? Psalm 146 and verse 5. Happy is he who has, what? The God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the what? Of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, He turns upside down. Whoa. Now, one of the things that happens in this is your eyes will begin to open. In other words, when you're seeking, when you're pursuing, you can't pursue something you don't see. Amen? What He does is He opens your eyes. He opens your eyes to see what you're pursuing. And as you're pursuing, you go to the place and you begin to knock. You begin to knock. And as you begin to knock, one of the first things that begins to open is your sight. Whoa. Because see, even the door opens, but if you don't see it, you will miss it and pass it. Is everybody okay? This, remember that when the door is open, it's called penetrate. It's called access. Access. Everyone say access. In Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and verse 5. Thus says the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. To what? Open blind eyes. To bring out prisoners from the prison. Those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Wow. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you what? Of them. And I'm telling you right now, there's about to be released fresh strategies, tools, and weapons from the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 18, it says in what? Through him, we both have what? Access. That means the door has been opened, right? By one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Why? Because we've not only asked, seek, and knocked, but we've practiced, we've pursued, and we've penetrated, which are the tools. You cannot grow weary now. You cannot give up now. You must be consistent. In Proverbs 13:22, would you read it with me? Proverbs 13:22. I'm telling you that latter rain and early rain is around the corner. Things are about to be released. There's a battle going on. Big battle. In verse 20, it says, he who what? Walks with wise men will be wise. In other words, they'll be like-minded, won't they? But the companion of fools will be what? Destroyed. Verse 21. Proverbs. Did I say Psalm or Proverbs? Proverbs? No. Proverbs 13:21 now. Evil what? Pursues sinners, but to the righteous God shall be repaid. Whoa. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for who? Hello! The righteous. That's why we must practice, pursue, and penetrate. And I'm going to close at John 10. Tools to victory or tools to success. John 10, verse 7. Let's all speak it together. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who hear, whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundant. Abundant comes with cooperation, comes with discipline and consistency. It comes with seeking, asking, seeking, and knocking. And the tools that are being released is to practice, pursue, and penetrate. We cannot give up now. Remember that resistance of the enemy is futile. Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We are more than conquerors, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Vitally important. Stand strong. Fight, continue, don't give up. And don't pick up those things that are unclean, because there's a lot of deception of false comfort. Don't pick up the false comfort. Practice the truth And you will find victory all the way through and be pleasing to the Creator, the King of Glory. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed again today, Father, that has been imparted into your people, grow and bear fruit for your glory. Continue to fill us with your love and your wisdom. Feed us from your throne room. Continue to open our eyes to see and place us in the place where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.